there's a story like that where a man in the scriptures in Luke, this guy made money and he had made crops. And he said, wow, look at this. What am I going to do with all these crops? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my old barns and I'm going to build new barns. I'm going to fill these barns full and then I'm going to set back and I'm going to take life easy for many years in the future. I've got it made. And he did all that work and got all that done. And then you know what the Lord called him? What did the Lord call him? A fool. Yeah, he said, you fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of you. Then who's going to get all this stuff? It's going to belong to somebody else. It's just like when the man I used to work for, he was a multi-millionaire. You know, I used to work for J.W. Marriott. He owned all these hotels and all this in-flight catering and all this stuff. The guy started out with nothing and built an empire on this earth. I mean, he had it good. He worked hard, had a great life, everything. But when he died, one of the men says, I wonder how much Mr. Marriott left. I said, all of it. All of it. I don't know if he had a $500 million or $3 billion. I don't know what he had, but I know he had a lot. But how much did he leave? Every bit of it. He didn't take a nickel to do with him, did he? Nope, not at all. So, but he did get to enjoy living while he was here. There's no two ways about it. And he helped lots of people. He done lots of good things. But he did have a big family to leave it to, too. So it wasn't quite so meaningless and depressing for him. He really did bless his son and all of his grandchildren. Now it says, two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. Now how many of us know that's true? You know, when you're trying to do something by yourself, I was thinking when I built my house, I built it by myself. And I think of the times, if I'd have just had one person to go down and hold one of those big sheets out there on the end when I was way up above the roof where I could have nailed it in, instead of me having to go in and build little fixtures and all kinds of stuff to hold it and slide it in and do all the things, it might take me an hour to do what two of us could have done in 10 minutes. You know, but I didn't have that other person. I was just out there by myself. You know, I'm out there at night working on that house. I built a 5,000 square foot, two-floor house by myself in five or six years. You know, literally by myself. I can remember one night I was upstairs and going to put this big main 3x12 beam that's almost 33 feet long. I'm going to put this thing up and I raise one end up and get it up there and get some little brackets tacked under it where it can't fall off and can't tilt over and everything. And then I go up on a ladder on the other end and I pick that big beam up, put it up on my shoulder, and I take one step on that ladder at a time, trying to get, and it's only holding on the other side by about 4 inches. And I'm thinking, Lord, please keep that thing on there, because if that thing falls off, it's laid over my shoulder, I'm going to be in trouble when it hits the floor. But I got that thing up there by myself. No, I couldn't have been by myself. God had to have an angel helping me. Thank you, Lord. I repent right there, Lord. I had to have some help. There ain't no way I could have put that big heavy beam up there by myself. But with God helping me, I got it up there. And I got it anchored. I spent a lot of nights out there. And if you ever want to learn how to pray, start building a house by yourself. You can learn how to pray well. But anyway, I was trying to build that. And I spent all those hours and everything. And then, of course, we did get to move into it. And Betty and Amanda and Tim and I, we did get to enjoy it about 12 years. And then Betty and Amanda died. You know, and they're no more. And then when God brought me Cheryl, she didn't want to live in it. She just didn't want to live in it. She said, I just don't want to live in a house you lived in with another woman. So I said, okay. So I gave it to my son. You know, so I just gave it away. So, hey, you know, I had a great investment in that house, a lot of hours, but I just turned around and gave it away. It was a little hard to give it away. You know, when you give it, you say you give it, but when your kids do something that you don't like with it, you know, Oh my goodness, I think about how many hours I put into that. But, you know, Cheryl said, did you give it to them or not? okay, I give it to them. It's kind of hard to turn loose, you know it? When you have that much of your life involved in all them hours of building that house, it's hard to turn loose. And you know, that happens the same thing with us when our children. We got 15 or 20 or 25 years involved in those children, raising them. And when they get grown, it's hard to let them go be their own man or their own woman. You want to hold on. You want to pull the cords back. You want to say, let me help you. You can't do this without my help. No, they don't really need your help. They want to do it on their own. But that's hard for mamas and daddies to do. It's just back off and say, okay, if you need my help, I'm here. But if you don't, I just let you be left alone. You know. But if you ask them, you know what they're going to tell you? I just want to be left alone. I want to run my own life. I don't want you running it for me. You know, kind of hard to turn them loose, isn't it? Woo, it's hard. But you go back and think yourself. When you were 17 or 18, did you want to do your own thing? Sure you did, yeah. You were your own man, your own woman. You didn't want somebody dragging along, telling you what to do and what not to do. But anyway, it says, two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. Now, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone, when they fall, they're in real trouble. Now, how many times, especially when people get a little older and they're living by themselves, and they fall? Sometimes they can't even crawl to a phone, and so they may lay there for a day or two or three before somebody finds them. Where if they had somebody there with them, they wouldn't have to go through all that. And on a cold night, two under the same blanket can gain warmth from each other. Hey, that's true, isn't it? I mean, you can snuggle up against somebody, and those two bodies will warm a whole lot more than just one will by itself. You know, on a cold night. But how can they be warm? How can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. It's real easy for one to be defeated. And two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So if you're under attack, and you got one back to back and one to the side, and you make a little triangle there, you're pretty well covered. You're pretty well covered. Now, if you're out there all by yourself, you're walking down that road by yourself, somebody can walk up behind you and attack you and do all kinds of things to you. But if you got that other one, you know, and I guess that's why God gave us, you know, mates and children and all kinds of things, because when we're alone, and of course many people are alone, not by choice, it just happens like that. You know, we're just like that. I know. I was alone for a while also. The futility of political power. Now, just like I said, you know, I think about what happened this week in America. Congress was opened this week by a Hindu priest. Never has this happened before, and never in history have we allowed a Hindu priest to pray to his God to open Congress. And never have we allowed another person to be sworn in on anything other than the Word of God. But this year we allowed a Muslim man to run for office. He won, and they allowed him to be sworn in on the Muslim Bible. Let me tell you, this nation is in for destruction. You know, we are going to suffer the consequences of being disobedient to God. How many gods did he say to put before him? None before him. We put a Hindu and we put a Muslim in there. That's two right there. Of course, the Hindu, they have so many. Who knows how many they have. But that's what happens. The man that wrote this scripture we're reading today, that was his downfall. God told him to put no other gods before him. But he had a weakness for beautiful women. And he didn't just have one or two. He had 1,000 of them. 1,000. Between his wives and his concubines. Now you guys that are married, that's got one wife. And she's more than you can handle. I mean, she keeps you busy. You know, with the things she's got to do around the house and everything else. How would you like to have 1,000 of them to keep you busy? No, forget it. Yeah. That's it. Forget it. You know, now then he says, it is better to be a poor but wise youth than to be an old and foolish king who refuses all advice. Uh-huh. Now see, when you get a little older, you think, well, I know everything. I don't need nobody to counsel me. Uh-huh. Yeah, you never get too old for God's counsel. Hello. Never. Is that right? You ain't never too old for counsel. You know, so when you think you got it, just like I said a while ago when I told the Lord, as I'm on final approach, I said, okay, God, I got it. And I found out I didn't have it. As soon as I touched that ground, I found out I needed some counsel from the King. You know, but that you know, He has a way of humbling you. You know, He can really humble you. As long as everything's going good, you're in control, it seems, it's real easy to think, I'm doing this. But whenever you lose control, or you're driving down the freeway. I mean, the other morning, I was coming after there was been some powerful rains, and I'm coming down 35W, and I approach the Denton Creek crossings there, and I thought, this seems to be a lot of water. I better slow down. So I slowed down to about 40, and there was a girl in a little sports car. She's driving about 60 or 65. She comes right on by me on the left side. She gets right out there about the middle of that first bridge, and all of a sudden her car turns around backwards. That little car hydroplaned. That little car turned around backwards, and it scooted down the rail on this side and tore up the right side and then bounced over to this side and hit the other side and then stopped right in the middle of the highway facing me. I stopped. I went up there, and of course, I'm trying to talk to her. I said, ma'am, are you okay? And let me tell you, she wasn't okay. I mean, this girl couldn't talk for a few minutes. She was shaking all over. Finally, I got her out of the car. I said, are you okay? She said, man, that scared me. I said, yeah, that would have scared me too. Guarantee. You know, that would have scared me too. It tore her car up all over. So we had to get it out of the highway, and it still runs, so we cranked it up and turned it around, and of course all the traffic was stopping and everything, and we pulled it down there and got it off the highway far, and then I went back and got my car, and she called her dad, and she said, well, he'll come get me in a few minutes, and so I just went on. She was okay, but she sure was shook up.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.